James chapter 1. And reading at verse 16, and our overall theme these Sunday mornings has been practical Christianity. And we have come to our 10th study in the book of James. I want to talk to you this morning about what are we doing about what we're hearing. What are you doing? What am I doing about what we are hearing? The old Negro said there are two sides to the gospel. There is the believing side and there is the behaving side. James's epistle is concerned with the behaving side, the living out of the good word of God. And the question that confronts us all this morning as Christian believers is, what are we doing about what we're hearing? We're reading from James chapter 1 and verse 16. James chapter 1 and verse 16, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a doer of the word, and a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." What are you doing with what you're hearing? Let's just bow in another word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee afresh this morning for Thy most precious word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And our Father, as we turn aside from the things that have been occupying our hearts and our minds throughout this week, we would pray for Samuel's mind, Samuel's ear, Samuel's heart, Samuel's attitude. Speak. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant here. Help us as we come to Thy word just now, for Christ's sake. Amen. According to a news report, on one occasion, a number of booklets entitled "The Control of the Termite" were stored in the mailing room of a Western university. Believe it or not, those little termites gobbled their way through those booklets, and no one noticed or observed what was happening until the damage was done. Those hungry little termites and pests destroyed the very information that could have prevented all that from happening. You see, all the facts contained in those booklets didn't do one bit of good. Why? Because knowledge was not applied. That story brings us to the thrust of what James is saying here in verse 22 when he says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Someone has said there are four different kinds of hearers. There are those who are like a sponge. They soak up the good and the bad, and they let both run out immediately. There are those who are like a sand glass. They let what enters in at one ear pass out the other, hearing without thinking. There are those who are like a strainer, letting the good go and retaining the bad. And then there are those who are like a sieve. They let the chaff go, and they retain what is good. All of us should be like the sieve. But my dear friends, James says, that isn't even good enough. For blessing, he says, doesn't come by hearing the word, but by doing the word. You'll notice what he says in verse 25, the very last phrase. This man shall be blessed in his deed. What man? The man who hears the word, the man who lives the word, the man who obeys the word, the man who farms the word out in his daily experience. This man shall be blessed in his deed. What man? The doer of the word of God. So the question that confronts us this morning is this. What are we doing about what we're hearing? What are you doing with what you're hearing? It's good to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the word of God. But let's not forget that you and I are equipped for the work of the ministry. That's James's great concern. He's teaching us that we should hear God's word, verses 19 and 20. He's teaching us that we should receive God's word, verse 21. And now he's teaching us that we should obey God's word, verse 22. Incidentally, did you notice that James is a great man for talking about the word? James is a great man for talking about Scripture. He's a great Bible man. He's a man who steeped his soul in the Word of the living God. And here's James's burning concern. What are we doing about what we're hearing? Now, I want to open up the passage for you this morning from verses 22 right down to verse 25 by noticing three things, very simply. I want you to notice, first of all, here an exhortation. An exhortation. And then secondly, an illustration. And then thirdly, an observation. An exhortation, an illustration, and then an observation. Notice what he says in verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. I want you to notice several aspects of this tremendous exhortation. Notice how powerful it is. Be ye doers of the word. The Greek conveys the idea, make sure that you are a doer of the word. Show yourself to be a doer of the word. The tense of the verb or the tense of the word here suggests continuing action. What James is simply saying is this, keep on showing yourself to be a doer of the word of God. You see, the Christian believer who only responds to the word of God only now and then, the Christian believer who acts by impulse and at certain intervals is not a real doer of the word of God. There are many Christians who operate by fits and starts. They blow cold and then they blow hot for a while. James is saying this, make sure that you are continually and constantly a doer of the word. I want you to see how powerful this exhortation is. And then I want you to see how practical it is. Notice what he says, but be ye doers of the word. Look at that word doer for a moment. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word. Verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Look at verse 25. He says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Flick over to chapter 4 and verse 11 for a moment. The same idea. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now what does it mean to be a doer of the word? Surely it simply means this. To submit to the word's authority and to comply with the word's demands. To be a doer of the word of God is simply to be obedient to what the totality of God's word says. Now, James is not condemning a Christian for reading his Bible or for being a hearer of the word. What he's condemning the Christian for is for being a hearer only. The Amplified Bible puts it like this, but obey the message. Be doers of the word and not merely listeners to it. My dear friends, it's not enough to hear the word of God. We must do it. I think there are many Christians today who have the mistaken idea that if they come and listen to a good message or if they come and listen to a good Bible study, that that's what makes them grow. That's what makes them get the blessing of God. It is to a certain extent, but James is emphasizing this. He says it's the doing that brings the blessing. There are too many Christians who mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. James is saying this, that which is heard in the holy place, whether it's in private or public, it must be expressed in the marketplace. My friends, the knowledge of the Word of God is good. In fact, God give us more men in this assembly who have got an insatiable appetite for the Word of God. A knowledge of the Word of God is tremendous, but that doesn't discharge our responsibility. It's not enough to hear the Word. It's not enough to retain the Word. It's not enough to memorize the Word. It's not enough to mark the Word. We must live out the Word of God in our own daily experience. Is it not possible to be a brilliant theologian but a poor Christian? You remember what the Lord Jesus said on one occasion. He said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock." Martin Luther, speaking on one occasion of a pastor by the name of Nicholas Hussman, said, "What we preach, he lives. What we preach, he lives." I wonder, could that be said of us this morning? When you hear the Word, do you receive it meekly? Do you obey it wholeheartedly? Do you live it out joyfully? Whether at business, at home, at college, at university, at work, could it be said of us that we're doers of the Word? What an exhortation. Look at it again. He says, "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." How powerful this is. How practical this is. How penetrating this is. "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only." The Amplified puts it like this: not merely listeners to the Word of God. Now that word listener or hearer, it's an interesting word. It means audit. The word reminds us of a person auditing or pursuing a college course. This person attends all the lectures. He listens to the lecturer carefully, but he never has to take the test. When examination time comes, he forgets about the exam. He goes out and he plays golf. There's absolutely no pressure upon him. However, when graduation time comes, and when the diplomas are handed out and the certificates are being given out, there's no crown, there's no cap for this man. There's no diploma for someone who has just attended the courses. Many of us as Christians are just like that. We pursue the course. We're just hearers of the Word of God. We don't visit others in need. That's the context in James 1, the last couple of verses. We don't visit others in need. We don't keep ourselves unspotted or separate from the world. We're not involved in evangelism or practical outreach. We don't have any practical input into missionary activity. We don't even return a tithe or more of our income to God. Oh, we've heard all the teaching. And we've listened to all the preaching. And we nod in agreement. Oh, we believe it all. We never just get the grade. The question is this. When graduation day comes and we stand at the Bema judgment seat of Christ, not for our sins, but for our service, how will we feel? And so this word hearer is an interesting word. It was used in ancient times of one who regularly attended the lecturer. But my dear friends, the hearers were distinguished from the real disciples, the learners, those who went in for the test and passed the exam. I wonder which describes you this morning. I wonder how have you come to worship this morning? Have you come up to hear the Word of God so that you might go away better? Have you come to judge the Word? Or have you come to allow the Word of God to judge you? So easy, isn't it, to sit under the Word as judges of men's gifts, as judges of men's abilities, as judges of men's talent. so easy to come up merely as a sermon taster of the Word of God and to go out and say, "Preacher, I enjoyed that message." But the question is this: what are we doing about what we're hearing? You leave the building saying how much you enjoyed the message, but go on living as if you never heard it. My friends, the purpose of preaching, listen, the purpose of preaching is not that men and women, that Christians might be pleased. The purpose of preaching is that Christians might be profited, that they might be inspired, that they might be edified, that they might be inspired to go out and live godly and holy lives. Don't pray as the man if you're not prepared to practice the matter. That's James' concern. Now he gives us an illustration here. Look at it. He says in verse 23, "But if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." See that word "glass" in the Authorized Version? It simply means mirror. The word "face" is interesting. It means the face you're born with. The face you're born with. You can't help your face, can you? Some of the ladies try. Some of the men try too. Some of the ladies put enough paint on their face to paint a ship and enough powder to blow it up. You see the lady that went to L.A. recently, Los Angeles. She got her face changed. Spent £50,000. She got a smaller nose. She got all the wrinkles taken away from her face. She went to Los Angeles. It reminds me of the story of the wee man who was walking around the city hall one day when I think of L.A. He was walking around the city hall. He was from East Belfast and he bumped into this American. And they began to talk together. And the wee man from East Belfast said, "Sir, where are you from?" He says, "I'm from L.A. Wee man from East Belfast, he looked puzzled. He said, "L.A.? I said, "I've never heard of it." He said, "Have you never heard of Los Angeles?" "Oh," he said, "yes." The American said to him, "Where are you from?" He says, "I'm from B.C. He said, "Sir, I've never heard of B.C. He says, "It's Ballymacarrick." Well, you heard about the lady who went, it was all on the television recently. And she got her face changed. Smaller nose, all the wrinkles taken away. £50,000. I want to tell you this morning, there's a better way to improve your face. It's from the inside. From the inside. The light of the Savior's presence in the heart shining out in the very face. You remember when Moses went up the mount, 40 days, 40 nights, in the presence of God. And when he came down from the mount, the skin of his face shone. In other words, the effect of his fellowship with God was observable for all to see. James is talking about the natural face. He's talking about the mirror. Look at that other word in verse 24. He says, "He beholdeth himself." That indicates a casual, superficial look. You've all heard the phrase, "a lick and a promise." Well, here's what we might call a look and a promise. Now, here's James' simple illustration. Many of you will respond to it because it's what you do every morning. Man gets up in the morning, dashes to the mirror. He swishes the razor and face cloth across his face. He throws his comb through his hair. He gulps his breakfast down. And then he rushes either to the car or to the train, by which time he has completely forgotten the details of what his face looked like a few moments earlier. You see, in the previous verses, James has been comparing the Word of God to seed. But now he's comparing the Word of God to a mirror. What he has in mind is this: the Christian who comes to the mirror of God's Word, hurriedly dashes through a passage, maybe the last thing at night, he skims over his over pre-digested notes, somebody else's note. Not against that. And then he bows his head for a moment in prayer, either in the morning or night. And if it's the morning, he rushes off into the whirl of business life, office life, factory life, with as little understanding of what he has read in the Word of God as the other man had of the precise knowledge of the details of his faith. I wonder, is that you this morning? Does that find you out? Is that your personal approach to the Word of God? My dear friends, listen, we live in a day of casualness. Sometimes I get tired hearing the Word. Casual this and casual that. And alas, we have become casual in our observance of the Word of God. And James is condemning the Christian who hears but does not. Indeed, he tells us there's three things wrong about them. Look at verse 22. There's something wrong about this man's reasoning. He deceives himself. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The word means to be deceived by false reasoning. I've read my Bible, I've said my prayers, I've had my time with the Lord, so everything is fine. I've gone through the process, and so now I can assume the progress. That's false reasoning. My friends, it's so easy to deceive ourselves into thinking that progress has been made when we've learned something new from the Word of God, when we've heard something new, when we've been taught a certain subject. I wonder, have you ever gone away from a service, maybe a Bible study, maybe a Bible class, maybe a Bible convention, and you've said, I've learned something new tonight. Ah, but here's the question. I wonder, can you say from that moment forward, that part of the Word of God has entered into my spiritual bloodstream and changed my life for God and for good? What are you doing with what you're hearing? You see, there's a difference between reading a menu and eating a meal. There's a difference between reading the prescription and taking the medicine. There's a difference between reading the Word and growing in grace. And the man who hears the Word but doesn't do is defective in his reasoning. Look at verse 24. He's defective in his reading. James says he beholds himself. That just means a casual thought. Wonder, have you ever had the experience, I'm sure you have, all of us have had, the experience of looking at your watch, looking at the time, but somehow it's made a little impression upon your mind. And then someone meets you in the next 5 minutes and they say, excuse me, sir, madam, can you tell me the time? And you've so forgotten that you've had a look at your watch again. You see, your first glance has just been a casual glance. It's made a little impression upon your mind. Is that not how we often look into the mirror of God's Word? Just casual glance. I wonder this morning, are you reading the Word of God just as a religious exercise? Just because you think it's the thing that a Christian ought to do. But I want to ask you, are you profiting from it? My dear friends, our conscience would prick some of us if we didn't read the Word of God in the morning. It's as important to us, if not more important, as taking our breakfast. But I wonder, does our conscience equally prick us when we read it casually, carelessly? You know, God says in Isaiah, He says, to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Telling about his vision, the prophet Daniel says, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. When did you last do that? When did I last do that? Trembling before the Lord. Well, that's James's thoughts. He's saying the man who hears the word but doesn't practice it, there's something wrong about his reasoning. There's something wrong about his reading. There's something wrong about his response. Look at verse 24. He goeth his way, or to paraphrase it, he just goes on with what he's doing. Was the rich young ruler not like that? Came to the Savior. He came to the right person with the right question. He received the right answer, but he just kept on doing
what he was doing. Do you do that? Do you look into the mirror of the Word of God and you see what's wrong in your life? And you know all about those sins that so easily beset you, and yet you do absolutely nothing. Isn't that amazing? We hear the Savior's command, this do in remembrance of me, and we say, but Lord, sure there's the roast. And I've bought it out of McCartney's and Moira. There's the roast. And there's the dinner. And there's the family coming for dinner. Lord, I can't sacrifice 30 minutes for you. We hear the Lord saying, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we respond and say, Lord, it's just a meaningless ordinance. It'll get us wetter, but no better. We hear the Lord say, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him and store as God has prospered him. And we say, Lord, what about the mortgage? And Lord, do you not know that we're moving house? We can't afford it. We hear the Lord say, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And we say, Lord, my recreation nights are far more important than the Bible class. They're far more important than the place of prayer. Lord, I don't want to be committed to a local church. I just want to flight about from place to place. I want to take all the privileges, Lord, but I don't want to bear any of the responsibility. We hear the Lord saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we say, Lord, I can give up this pet sin to know thy fullness and goeth his way. Is that what you'll do again this morning? Just go your way. Are you a hero only? James concludes here with an observation. Look at what he says in verse 25. He makes a statement concerning the Christian who does the Word of God, who lives the Word of God, who obeys the Word of God. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being a not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You see the but? In verse 25, it's introducing us to a different type of Christian. Different type of believer. It's introducing us to someone who not only takes the Word of God seriously, but seeks in his daily experience to live out the Word of God. He being not a forgetful hearer, says James, but a doer of the work. Now this man's characterized by three things, very quickly. He looks at God's Word. You see that word look in verse 25? It's an interesting word. It means a careful, earnest gaze. Now James contrasting two men here, two Christians. He's contrasting the man who comes to the Word of God, but he's only a hearer. He's only a sermon taster. He doesn't take this book seriously. And then he brings before us the man who not only hears the Word and retains the Word and memorizes the Word, but lives the Word. He says, but there's the contrast. Here's a believer who looks at God's Word. That word look indicates a careful, earnest gaze. It's the same word that's used in John chapter 20 that describes how Peter and John came to the empty tomb. That was no casual glance. John didn't want to miss anything the tomb might reveal to him. He looked into the tomb. He's looking at every crook, every nook and cranny. He's stooping down, says John, looking. Not a glance, but a gaze, a careful scrutiny of every nook and cranny. Is that how you approach the Word of God? Do you seek with the Holy Spirit's help penetrate beneath the surface, in order that you might discern and discover deeper truths? I'm told that in the Johannesburg area of South Africa, there are at least 55 gold mines, and some of them nearly 12,000 feet deep. I remember going down one of them a few years ago, and I was amazed as that lift took us right down into the bowels of the earth. And when I got back up the shaft, and in the daylight, I was privileged to hold in my hand a bar of gold that was worth, what, $500,000 American dollars. Isn't it amazing that men are prepared to go into that tremendous depth of the earth to bring up to the surface, listen to it, 4 tons of ore in order to produce 1 ounce of gold. 4 tons of ore in order to produce 1 ounce of gold. You remember what David said about God's word? We read about it earlier on this morning. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. I wonder, is that how you feel about your Bible this morning? Oh, that we could get us all as Christians. Oh, that we could just get a wee deeper appreciation of this book. Is that how you feel about the Word of God this morning? Do you desire it? You're saved? If you're saved, you've got an appetite. There's something wrong with that little baby who hasn't got an appetite. If you're saved, surely you've got the new life of God pulsating within your breast. And if you've got the new life of God pulsating within your breast, you've got a hunger for this book. You look at God's Word. Look at verse 25. This man not only looks at God's Word, he lingers in God's Word. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, the Amplified puts it, as faithful to it, perseveres in looking into it. When Paul visited Mars Hill, you know what the people, the Athenians, said of him? They described him as this babbler. That describes a Greek word that describes a little grain-eating bird that flitted here and there, picking up titbits here and titbits there, but without a solid meal. That certainly doesn't describe Paul, but I wonder, does it describe me this morning? Wonder, am I satisfied just with a wee thought here and a wee thought here for the day? Wonder, is your Bible study a matter of fits and starts, or is it marked by the determined discipline that God promises to reward? George Duncan said on one occasion, God doesn't reveal the deep things to the casual Christian who drops in for a chat. God doesn't reveal the deep things of God to the Christian who drops in for a chat. I'm not suggesting that you spend hours before you go out in the morning in meditation. That's your business. But I want to ask you this morning, has your Bible reading any structure to it? Do you linger in the Word? The man who hears and does, he looks at God's Word. He lingers in God's Word. But then, my dear friends, he lives out God's Word. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his doing. My dear friends, it doesn't say he's blessed by the amount of biblical knowledge that he accumulates. His blessing comes with his obedience to the revealed Word of God. Is that not what so often the Bible says? Judgments of the Lord are right. Keeping of them there is great reward. The Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and do it. The world-renowned physician, Dr. Hart Kelly, of Johns Hopkins Hospital in the United States of America, was once visited by a lady in which the cares of life threatened her physical strength and stamina, and even her reasoning. And once she described her symptoms, she was surprised at the description that this man gave to her. He said, madam, what you need is to read the Bible more. Imagine going to the surgery in the morning. The doctor saying to you, what you need to do is read the Bible more. I've got a doctor that would say that to me. Thank God for him. He said to her, what you need to do, madam, is to read the Bible more. He told her to go home. Read her Bible for an hour every day for 1 month. Then come back to him. First, the lady, she was inclined to become agitated and angry with him, but then she did what he told her. She was a Christian. She was a child of God, but she had neglected the things of God. She had neglected the place of prayer and the Word of God. And when she came back a month later, he said to her, I see that you've been an obedient patient. Now do you feel as if you need any other medicine? She said, no, doctor, I'm a different person. But how did you know what I needed? And he reached over and picked up his well-worn, well-marked Bible and he said, if I omit my daily reading of God's Word, I not only lose my joy, I lose my greatest source of strength, of skill. Your case called not for medicine, but for a source of peace and strength outside of my prescription, which when tried, works wonder. I'll finish. James was a man of the book. In this whole section, he's just pleading with us. Hear the word. Receive the word. Obey the word. Man, come home from a church service one day, usually earlier than expected. Wife said to him, "You're early. Is the sermon done already?" He said, "No, it's preached. It's going to be done now." What are you doing? What are you doing with what you're hearing? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We confess to thee, O God, that oft times we're just sermon tasters. All of us, preacher included, just sermon tasters. Father, help us to take your word seriously. Help us not only to look into it and linger in it. Lord, give us the grace to live it out. There are areas of this book, Lord, that will annoy us, upset us, disturb us. There are areas of this book, Lord, that will agitate us. O God, we pray that we might be obedient to the totality of your revealed truth. For Christ's sake. Amen.